Hello, welcome to the Callcast. I am your host, Chris Collins. It is Friday, the 25th of January. On a very gloomy day, I'm on the south coast of the UK at the moment. I'm in Bournemouth, sunny, sunny Bournemouth. Bit of sarcasm there for you. It's absolutely miserable today, but I'm hoping I'm going to brighten up all your days, no matter where you are, by bringing you the Callcast episode 11. This week we'll be having a look at some of the MMA news, some of the fight news that's been going on, and having a look forward to a couple of events this weekend. One which is happening right now, which I can't comment on too much, which is the ONE FC event, and obviously Bellator 214 coming this weekend, which is being headlined by Ryan Bader and Fedor Emelianenko. They'll be concluding the heavyweight Grand Prix that's been happening over the last year or so over in Bellator. So have a quick look at those fights and everything that's going on with those events. But first, we'll get into a little bit of MMA news. Top story of the week is probably something that I've mentioned in the last couple of podcasts now. It's been dominating it a little bit, hasn't it? And it's been dominating MMA headlines and news. But John Jones has failed another drug test. So he had the USADA drug test that he failed. Then there was the CSAC, I think, drug test that he failed. And now he's failed the VADA drug test. So he's gone for the hat trick. He's failed all three. Again, it was oral turinabol that they found. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I've already given my thoughts on John Jones probably for about half an hour or more so in the last couple of podcasts, if you want to go back and listen to those. But how to conclude this without sounding like I'm just being a John Jones hater? He's a cheater. There you go. There shouldn't be, I've said it before, there shouldn't be anything in this system. I don't know why they're letting him get away with this drug that just keeps popping up over and over again when no one else is popping for oral turinabol ever. And if they ever have done, in the case of Frank Mir, for example, they get punished accordingly. So John Jones just showing again that he's the exception to the rule as far as all the powers that be concerned. But just attached to this story, Anthony Smith's come out this week. You know, Lionheart, everyone's obviously been blowing up his Twitter with the news that John Jones has failed another drug test, and he's pretty much come out, fair play to him, and said, listen, guys, I know. I know what I'm getting into by facing John Jones. I know that, aside from the fact that I'm facing an absolute monster, arguably the greatest of all time, I know that I'm getting involved with someone who likes to party, is a bit wild, and is attached to performance-enhancing drugs. So fair play to Anthony Smith. He knows what he's preparing for. He's not under any illusions. He's not coming out and bitching and moaning about the fact that Jones has failed another drug test. He's just taking his shot at the title, and he's going to try and make the most of it. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people rooting for Lionheart at the end of the day to see if he can get the job done. Other big news story this week is the Conor and Cowboy fight, the proposed fight. It's been picking up a little bit of steam. Both guys have been showing each other an awful lot of respect, to be fair. Cowboy's pretty much been saying after the fight, you know, in the post-fight press conference and in the interview afterwards as well, pretty much saying that Conor runs the show. He gets to choose who he wants to face, but it'd be an honour to face him, that he'd love to do it, that he'd go over to Ireland. He's even brought Conor's whiskey brand into it, saying he'd share a couple of drinks with him, and Conor seems to be very receptive. It's a great fight. Like I said before on the podcast last week, two cult personalities in the sport with a massive fan base behind both of them, and it'd just be a fantastic fight. Both excellent stand-up fighters. Both accomplished on the ground as well. Cowboy, obviously, more so. Cowboy's a bit of a bastard on the ground, to be fair. People sleep on how good Cowboy is with his jiu-jitsu, but it'd be an awesome stand-up fight, I think. I think that's where it'd play out mostly. And, you know, let's book it. Like, why not? It's a perfect return fight for Conor. It's the perfect fight for Cowboy to cement his legend and his legacy. I just can't wait for it to be announced. It's picking up steam. There's a few credible sources that are saying that it's pretty much a done deal. They're just waiting on sort of the the finer points of the contracts and stuff and for things to be signed. So, I mean, if that one gets announced, it's going to set the MMA world on fire. So, really looking forward to seeing if that one gets announced soon. Couple of prospective fights. It's a bit light on MMA news this week, actually. But these two prospective fights that might be happening will make some waves in the MMA world. The first one is Paulo Costa, and Yoel Romero is slated for April. Obviously, this fight's been in the works before. It looks like we're going to get to see it now in April. It will obviously be a middleweight, so there was some talk about Yoel Romero going up to 205. I'm going to guess that's going to be delayed. Perfect fight for both fighters. I mean, if Costa wins that one, he's a title challenger. Where else can he go? Yoel Romero's been so close to winning the title on two occasions. He's beaten some of the best at 185. There's nowhere else for Paulo Costa to go if he beats Yoel Romero apart from straight into a title fight. For Romero, he's got choices. I mean, if he beats Paulo Costa, he's beaten a young, up-and-coming, impressive middleweight who's been, you know, laying waste to the whole of the 185-pound division. He could ask for another title fight. You know, he had two really, really super close, razor-close fights with the champ, and he could arguably... You could arguably say that he won the second fight against Rob Whittaker. I think he probably would have a good case for getting into a third title fight. Or if not, it's a good win to take up to 205 of him and campaign for a title shot up there, or at least a number one contenders fight. So, excellent fight. I don't know who would win that, to be honest. There's a lot of factors to consider. I would analyse that closer to the time. It is slated for April at the moment, but... what a banger. I hope that one gets announced. The other one, last news story or notable news story for this week, Matt Brown and Mike Perry. So Matt Brown has said he is down to face Mike Perry this summer. Oh my God, what a fight. The violence that would come out of that bout would be magnificent. Matt, I'm crossing my fingers now. I've just, without even thinking about it, my fingers are crossed. I've got my microphone in one hand and I've got my right hand, fingers crossed, clenching them together, hoping that the UFC announces that, because that is a brilliant fight. Mike Perry, like I say, violence personified. Matt Brown, violence personified. Two warriors, willing to go out on the shield, willing to die in there. What a barn burner that would be. It'd be a perfect addition to a pay-per-view main card or a perfect main event or co-main event on a fight night, especially with ESPN being the new platform. Can't wait to see if that one gets booked as well. That is a brilliant fight. And that is pretty much it for news this week. The only other thing to go over really is just the aftermath of the UFC on ESPN card last week. A couple of fantastic fights, to be honest. The ones to mention really... you know, Paige VanZant looked great. Obviously, I mentioned this in the last podcast, but she looked great in the fact that she recovered well. Rachel Ostovich looked fantastic. She's going to get a good fight on her next time out, no questions asked. TJ still bitching and moaning a little bit. He seems to have not taken the loss very well at all. I mean, people say he's a sore loser and stuff, but he's just an ultra competitor, isn't he? And you know, he just hates the fact they'll be eating away at him that he's lost. And God help the next person who faces TJ Dillashaw, because they're probably going to get blown out of there very quickly and very violently. Henry Cejudo, you've got to give him his props. He's in the running now for pound great, isn't he? So just to build on what I said in the last podcast last week a little bit more, they were your two main fights on there, really, and they were brilliant. Nothing really else to write home about on the card, apart from Cowboy's comeback, obviously. And the fact that he's might be getting a big fight out of Conor coming up. And then a little bit more of the fallout from Greg Hardy. Everyone's saying that he's a cheater. And I said it last week, he's just a piece of shit, isn't he? So moving on from that, nothing really much else to say in terms of the UFC card last week on ESPN. The numbers have come out and everything. Recently they're starting to come out into the media. It looks like it was as successful a card as I thought it'd be. It just seemed to he seemed to come across very well on ESPN. It seems to be a bit of a match made in heaven, the UFC and ESPN. It's good to see the world's biggest MMA promotion on what is a credible sports channel now. And I'm hoping that it'll bring forward a lot more fans. It'll display the sport and the highest level of sport on the world's biggest stage. And I'm just hoping that people will catch on with the sport. People will see the legitimacy of the sport now that we're on ESPN. And I just hope that it moves not just UFC, but Bellator, ONE FC and all the other promotions. I hope it just moves them on to the next level. So it's brilliant stuff, it really is. And it's a really exciting time for MMA at the moment. So before we go into Bellator 214, which is happening this weekend, tomorrow night, just going over, there's not really much point saying anything about One Championship Heroes Ascent. Obviously, it's happening right now. The main event hasn't quite happened, but the main event is the rubber match between Jehei Eustaquio and Adriano Moraes. In the last few years, there's only been three flyweight champions over in One Championship, and these two guys are two of those three. It's going to be an interesting fight. Obviously, the one apiece in their heads-to-head. And this is going to be the rubber match, pretty much. And there's a lot of interest on flyweight over in One Championship at the moment. Obviously, with the signing of Demetrius Johnson, Mighty Mouse, you may have heard of him. One of the all-time greats. He'll be going over to, or he is already over at One Championship, and he'll be making his debut very soon. It's going to be a very interesting time for the 125-pound division over there. But this is going to be an excellent fight. I have a feeling, if I could pick a prediction, I think Jehei is going to get it done. I think he's going to get it done by super close decision, maybe even a split decision. Really, really close fight. Two ultra, ultra talented guys. It's a shame that, you know, in the Western world, people aren't more tuned on to One Championship, because these guys are two of the best at 125. They really are. They give anyone in the world a handful at that weight class. But I just think Jehei will be a little bit too much for Adriano Moraes. And I think he's the more confident fighter at the moment as well, with his recent runner results. So I'm going to say that he wins shades a very, very close decision. Bellator 214. Bit of an average card, not to sort of insult anyone on the card, but, you know, a bit of an average card. Not too many sort of standout notable fights on there. Obviously, the main two fights are the ones that pretty much are the foundations of the whole card, to be honest. They'll be the two that I'll look at. So, the co-main event, Aaron Pico and Henry Corrales. Aaron Pico, as you all know, is a 22-year-old prodigy. Lost his first fight in Madison Square Garden, and since then he's pretty much been doing what everyone expected him to do in the sport. Knocked out Justin Lin, knocked out Shane Crutchen, knocked out Lee Morrison. Expected to win those fights, you know, it's fair enough. But then the Leandro Higo fight came. Now, Leandro Higo, not so long ago, was fighting Darian Caldwell for the bantamweight title. Former title challenger, super talented guy, and Pico just fucking mauled him. It was scary. It really was scary, and it just shows you how talented Aaron Pico is. The guy's got unbelievable hands, lightning fast, fantastic wrestling, the highest pedigree. Ultra winner, trains with the likes of TJ Dillashaw. You know, even TJ Dillashaw's come out and interviews himself and said the kid is ridiculous. He makes me look like, you know, my competitiveness is just like an average person's. He's a winner. He's a winner at all costs. And this fight with Henry Corrales is going to be very interesting. Henry Corrales is no joke. He's another step up in competition. You know, he's fought the likes of Patricio Ferrer, Daniel Strauss. He's been in there with Emmanuel Sanchez. He's fought the best. He's got good wins. He's on a 4-fight win streak at the moment. Those four fights, you know, it includes the likes of Noed Lahat and Georgie Karakanyan. He's beaten some good guys. He's been in there with some of the best, especially that Bellator's got to offer. And it's not supposed to be a walk in the park. This is supposed to be if it was any other prospect, it'd be that next step up in competition, and you'd be talking about, you know, the ways that he could get it done, but where they could fall, you know, the problems that Henry Corrales is going to cause him, etc., etc. Listen, I am fully aboard the Aaron Pico hype train. I don't think Henry Corrales causes him any issues whatsoever, and I think Aaron Pico walks out of there with another first round knockout slash TKO. I just don't think Corrales is going to be able to stop him. And if that does happen, you know, you're talking about a number one contenders fight for Aaron Pico. There's nowhere else for him to go over in Bellator. If he blows Henry Corrales out of the water, that's a statement. It really is a big statement. So I'm going to say Aaron Pico by first round KO slash TKO. And then you've got the main event. So Ryan Bader, Fedor Emelianenko. This one's really, really simple for me to break down, to be honest. Fedor, since he's come back out of his retirement, he beat... I'm not even going to count the Jaideep fight because it was daft. I'm not even going to count the Maldonado fight because he got turned to a draw. It was that shady, the result. It got turned to a draw because Maldonado, you know, pretty much nearly starched him on a couple of occasions. And Fedor apparently won a decision that fight. We all saw the fight. We know Fedor lost the fight. It's no secret. He had a two-fight win streak, though, technically. Took it over with him to Bellator. Got knocked out by Matt Mitrione. And then he's made a little bit of a resurgence. He knocked out Frank Mir and then knocked out Chael Sonnen. Let's not kid ourselves, though. Frank Mir is long in the tooth now, as much of a legend that he is, as talented as Frank Mir is. He's not beaten a Frank Mir that's in his prime. And Chael Sonnen's the same. And Chael Sonnen's a small heavyweight. He used to fight a middleweight, for Christ's sake. Again, it's not a super impressive win. It was a great fight, a very entertaining fight, but, you know, it's not a mega impressive win. Fedor was expected to use the clear physical advantages that he has to win that fight. So that's where Fedor finds himself, and that's how Fedor got into this title fight. Ryan Bader, quick look at his record. So, Anthony Perosh, Rafael Cavalcante, Ovince St. Preux, Phil Davis, Rashad Evans, the bad knockout loss to Rumble Johnson, and then after that, he fucking destroyed Ilia Latifi. He destroyed Little Nog, Anthony Nogueira. Goes over to Bellator, wins the Bellator light heavyweight title against Phil Davis, knocks out Linton Vassell, knocks out King Mo, and then beats Mitrione to get into the final of the Bellator heavyweight Grand Prix. Bader, a Rumble Johnson loss aside, you know, you're looking at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 wins on the bounce against the creme de la creme. I mean, you're talking the likes of OSP's a top 10 light heavyweight in the world. Rashad Evans, former light heavyweight champion. Two wins over Phil Davis. Phil Davis has been an absolute tear the last few years, especially since he went over to Bellator. Little Nog, legend. Linton Vassell and King Mo, always in title contention over in Bellator. Matt Mitrione, one of the best, again, another top 10 heavyweight in the world, I'd say. Bader really is in the prime of his career. He's looked fantastic, especially since he's gone over to Bellator from the UFC. He ended his UFC run on a high note with those two knockout wins against Latifi and Little Nog. And it's just a foregone conclusion, this fight, for me. He's younger, he's on a much better run. He's higher in confidence. I'd argue he's more skilled. He's not got as much experience as Fedor, I wouldn't say, but, you know, with the calibre of guys that he's been facing, specifically in the last 5 years, I can't see anything other than an absolute mauling from Ryan Bader. I think Ryan Bader's just going to do what he wants to Fedor, basically. If it's not a knockout, then I think he's just going to take him down and pound him out on the ground. I'm going to say it's another round one finish. I think Fedor comes out as aggressive, you know, as we've become accustomed to seeing him. And I think Bader's just going to clip him, either knock him out on the feet cold or take him down and just destroy him on the ground, ground and pound. So another first round finish there. Two picks for that fight. Pico first round finish. Bader first round finish. Bader becomes your heavyweight champion. And then it's off to the races for Bader. He'll be champ in Bellator, light heavyweight and heavyweight. and the sky's the limit for him then. I think people will then appreciate just how good he is and start to get on board with just how much of a superstar that Ryan Bader has become. And that is it for this week. Short podcast, just having a quick look at the fights this weekend and a few of the more notable news stories of the week, on the past week in the fight world, in the MMA world. Next week, I keep mentioning it, but I'm going to try and get someone on the podcast. It's just how schedules line up, so I am working on that for you all. But thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Please share the word, like and subscribe to the podcast on whatever podcasting platform you are on. We are on them all now, on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram, at The Colcast. Please give us a follow, like all the content that's going up on there. I will get this episode out today, Friday. And next week, when we do the podcast, we'll obviously be having a look at the UFC card that's coming up with the first weekend of February. That is the much-anticipated rematch between Moraes and Sun Cao. Very, very close fight the first time round. The winner of this one should be in line for a title shot at 135 in the UFC. So, very, very good fight to headline that event, and some good fights on that card as well, including the return of Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo, one of the greats, he's back. An underdog against Renato Moicano. Interesting. I'll tell you all my thoughts on that one next week, but very, very interesting. But yeah, really looking forward to that one. Thank you for listening, as always. Thank you for all the support that you've shown me, all the feedback you've given me on the podcast. It is very much appreciated. I'm hoping that, I was listening to the first episode of the Colcast the other day. I think it's got a lot better. I think I've become a lot more comfortable on the mic. It is a skill, talking to yourself. You look like a crazy person. Like right now, I'm sat in my car in Bournemouth, and I'm outside a hotel, and people are walking in and out of the hotel all the time, and they are looking at me like I'm a psycho. I've got a big pair of headphones on and a massive microphone in my hand. If it wasn't for the fact that I was sat in a Nissan Micra, I think they'd think I was a journalist. So, that's where I am in my podcasting journey. But to summarise what I was just saying, I've listened to the first episode recently. I think it's got a lot better. I'm starting to become a lot more comfortable on the mic. I'm hoping everyone's enjoying the podcast. But as always, if you have got any feedback for me, slide into my DMs and let me know. Awesome. Thank you for listening. Take care, and I will speak to you soon.